Hear again the word of the Lord. Jesus says, There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, this morning in our gospel reading, our Lord Jesus Christ takes aim at every form of self-righteousness of man. Every kind of holiness that is based upon the actions of natural man. Last week, the Pharisees challenged him, and now Jesus is concluding his response. And Jesus continues to forcibly demonstrate the false external righteousness of the Pharisees. And he preaches about the true righteousness of God. For it is not what goes into a person, but that which comes out of a person that defiles him. Last week in our gospel lesson, you heard the Pharisees' complaint. And it could be summarized like this. Jesus, your disciples are eating with unwashed hands. This violates the tradition of the elders. What do you have to say for yourself? And Jesus responds to them with these words. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honors me with your lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Now, to explain those words of Jesus, we need to understand a few key points. One of those is the distinction made here about being clean and unclean, defiled and holy. You see, this word here is not like the morally unclean. That's not what the Pharisees are accusing the disciples of. They're not saying that they are morally unclean for eating with unwashed hands, but rather that they are ceremonially or ritually unclean. That is to say, the disciples, by eating with unwashed hands, are not, in this action, able to enter into the Holy of Holies and into the temple. You may recall, of course, that in the Old Testament, the priests needed to wash before they entered into the temple to offer up sacrifices, to offer up prayers. The high priest needed to wash before he entered into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. In the Old Testament, there is a cleanliness law, but it is only restricted primarily to the priests, to the sons of Levi and Aaron specifically, who were to enter into God's presence in the tabernacle and later the temple. The Pharisees, however, are anxious to please God in everything they do. They are concerned that God, if he'd said the priests need to be clean to enter his presence, well, perhaps us lay people should likewise observe such a rite, such a practice. And so, if what is good for the goose is good for the gander, what's good for the priests is good for everyone. And by this rule, by this reasoning, the Pharisees added a tradition that all people needed to observe the ritual cleanliness laws, even those that only the priests were required to. And so now, by adding on these rules, by adding to God's law, they confuse the whole point of the Levitical laws about cleanliness. They confuse the vocation of the priests. And really, ultimately, by doing those two things, they confuse what those things pointed to. You see, all of the ritual cleanliness laws in the Old Testament point to the fact that we cannot enter God's presence on our own. More on that in a moment. In addition, all of these laws were given to the high priest and to the priests in order as a type and a figure of Christ. Christ is our high priest, and he is the one who is perfectly clean, the one who is holy and righteous and innocent, the only one who can approach the throne room, who can enter into the presence on his own, because he is holy and righteous. He is innocent and blessed. However, the Pharisees, they want to add fences to God's law. They want to be super holy, extra clean. And by adding on their own traditions to the law of God, to avoid any semblance or appearance of evil, they confuse the people. They confuse and befuddle the law of God. See, in the Old Testament, the priests need to be clean to offer sacrifices. So now we apply this to the people. And the law of Moses becomes even more difficult, even more onerous, even more frustrating. At the same time, when they do this, they also neglected to notice that when they add the traditions of the elders, of the Pharisees, onto the law of God, and they treat these two things as equal, this actually leads them into sin. To give an example from church history, it is much like the requirement that the Roman Catholic Church has for priestly celibacy. That is, their priests are not allowed to marry. Now, this, of course, is a human regulation that they came up with, and it makes a certain kind of sense. If a congregation is responsible to care for a pastor, for his family, if a congregation provides perhaps a parsonage, no one, upon the death of the priest, wants to kick out a family with little children. And so, no one wants to send a man with a family and little ones running around to send them to dangerous places. And so the Roman Catholic Church develops this idea, and then eventually it adds on to it ideas of holiness and righteousness that only a single man can have. And eventually you get the idea that the human law, the priest ought not be married, should be followed, while God's law, you shall not commit adultery, is not. And so in the medieval era of the history of the church, you have priests that are not legally married, and yet have a harem of concubines, prostitutes, mistresses, and a herd of illegitimate children. And yet this was seen as more holy than simply having a man marry one woman. See, this is what happens, dear Christians, when we confuse God's law and human traditions. When we add human traditions onto God's law to try to become holy and righteous, to think that we can do it if we just get another rule, another law. In fact, we often break God's law even further because we observe the law of man and neglect the law of God. At the time of Luther, it gotten so bad with clerical celibacy that in the Large Catechism, Luther alludes to this point, and yet he doesn't even tell you what actually he alludes to the point that this had gotten even worse in his day. The kind of thing that you expect to be celebrated in San Francisco or Portland, if you get the drift. That was what the priesthood in Rome was like when Luther visited as a young man. See, when the traditions of man are elevated to the place of God, God's word is confused. God's word gets the short end of the stick, and ultimately God's word is neglected. Because by adding on this idea that we can become clean through our own works, through our own ideas, the Pharisees confused how we are made righteous. See, they think that righteousness is about what goes into a body. They think it's about what comes into us. And therefore, they make rules about what you can eat, what you can touch, and so on and so forth. And these things are what they are concerned about. But the problem, dear Christian, is that that neglects the fact that your problem is what lies within. Our problem with sin is inside, not outside. Now, certainly, there are things outside us that lead us and tempt us towards sin. There is Satan that attacks us. There is the world that offers its allures. But there's a third enemy, and that's the sinful flesh. That is the inherited sin that we have from Adam and Eve, our first parents. Because of their sin, we all bear the shame of our first parents. We are all unable to enter into God's presence. And we are all, like Adam and Eve, prone to create our own coverings. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But finally, God had to make them clothing out of the lamb, out of the skin of a goat. God had to make them a covering. God had to clothe them and cover over their shame. Satan in the world, we can think that we can handle those things, that we simply have to build a monastery out in the desert, that we simply have to get away from the world, and we could overcome maybe those things. But once the gate is locked, once the shades are closed, we come across the final enemy. That is our sinful heart, our sinful nature. Because it is not, dear Christians, what comes in from the outside that makes us unholy. It is that which comes out. It is something inside. The well itself is poisoned. See, those words of Jesus, it is not what goes in but comes out. That is the thing the Pharisees did not understand. And dear Christian, the things that sometimes we do not understand. And dear Christian, what Jesus is doing today for us is trying to destroy and uproot every sense of self-righteousness that we can have. And also, he does this to prepare us for the corollary, for the opposite point. See, it is not that which comes out of a man that makes him holy. It is what goes into him. It is that which comes in from the outside, dear Christian. That is why Jesus comes in to this world from outside of it. That is why Christ sends to us his holy scriptures and his holy sacraments in the midst of his holy church. Because we need something outside of us. We need something that is not within us, because within us is only death and evil. What we need is salvation from outside. What we need is clean water given to us. What we need is cleansing from outside. And that is what Jesus gives to us, dear Christians. See, Jesus is the one who enters into this world and is not defiled by it. You recall, for example, Jesus cleansing the lepers. He touched them and made them well. You recall the woman with the flow of blood who is ritually unclean. She touches the hem of his garment, and instead of him becoming ritually unclean, she becomes healed. And her flow of blood, her injury, her wound is made whole. Jesus is the one who enters into the world and is contagiously holy. He is the one who comes into this world and brings to us forgiveness, who sheds a light upon our darkness, and who brings us into his own place. Who prepares a place for us to dwell with the one who is in the inapproachable light. He is the one who prepares for us a place with God forever, and who makes us clean so that we may dwell with God in eternity. And it's all a gift. Everything we call holy is not something that is created by man, but it is something that is given to us by God. Holy Scripture is the writings of the prophets and the apostles, the very word of God. It comes from outside of us. You didn't write Psalm 51. You didn't write Mark 7. God sent someone to speak those words, to write those words down. God sent someone to teach you those words. It's all a gift. Holy baptism is not something we created. We decided, you know, it'd be nice to have a little ritual with water and just kind of play around in it. No. God said, I am going to work in this way, with water and the words that mark you as my own child. The Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is not something we created. It's not just a snack or something like that. It's rather the Holy God choosing to unite us together around the sacrifice that Christ made, that is now received by us, the fruit of the cross, Christ's body and blood given and shed for us. Holy absolution is not something created by man. It is something instituted by Christ to be so that we would hear continually, week in and week out, the will of God towards us. I forgive you. And all of this takes place in the Holy Christian Church. The thing that is founded by Christ. He calls it my church, my flock, my sheep. And they hear his voice, and they are gathered today, dear Christians, around these gifts that Jesus Christ never tires of giving to you. And it is by these gifts that we receive the cleansing that only Christ can give, the holiness that only his work, his body, his life, his righteousness can give to us. So that on the last day, you and I will be before the throne of God, and he will look at us and declare us clean in his sight. Dear Christians, this cleanliness, this holiness is imperfect in this life, but it will be perfected when Christ returns to make all things right. And it is that day that we look forward to, dear Christians. For by his wounds we are healed. With his blood we are washed clean and acceptable in his sight. To Christ alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen.